So 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to be sharing some thoughts about the sword of the Spirit. And let's read 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. The New Living, the New Living, it says, fight the good fight for the true faith, hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. So we're to do what? Hold tightly, or to keep our grip on that eternal life to which we've been called. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start in verse 10. And we're going to be highlighting verse 17, but we'll start in verse 10. Glory to God. When you get there, say amen. Amen. And I'm going to read from the King James. It says, finally, my brethren, who's he talking to? He's talking to us, the saints. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm going to stop here. Last week we highlighted three words that were discussed in Rick Renner's book, Wiles, and devices, and deception. And very insightful. Wiles was methodos. It was, he comes one way, or as it says, on a road. It's one way. He comes, and then there are devices, or it says the scheming of the mind, and then a deception. He said this word deception means that it was done with intent, not accidentally. And so the devil comes one way. He comes to the mind of the believer to do what? To scheme or to trick and to trip up a believer. And it's with intent to do that. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy the believer. But thank God, our weapons that God has given us is to protect us, and they're mighty through God. Hallelujah. So these weapons that we've gone over are to do what? To protect us. It's just like I was sharing a few weeks ago that when we put on armor, or you put on clothes, it's to protect you from the elements, well, in our society, so that you don't get arrested for indecent exposure. But in some places, clothes don't mean anything, right? In some uncivilized environments or societies. But for us, it protects us. It covers us. And when you look at Adam, what's why I was sharing, is that Adam was covered, protected by light. He was protected by the glory of God. But sin caused that covering to be removed. And so he needed to be protected or covered with some natural things to protect him. So we can see that God's armor is to protect us. And it tells us right here. It says, you got to put it on that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which means if you don't put it on, you're exposed. That's pretty clear right there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't go through the effort of telling Paul, you need to put this on. Because if you don't, you won't be able to stand or withstand or resist his wiles and his deceits. So we need to put this armor on so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I like to say this, anytime the Holy Spirit points out three times against, he's making a point here. Amen. that needs to get our attention. He's saying you're going to have, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against this, against this, against this, against this. And it says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He says it again, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, or this is the loin belt, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and we were sharing at one of the lessons that this is not, it's not importance that the Holy Spirit is talking, it's position, it's placement. It's not saying that that shield is more important than anything else. It's placement. It's where should that be? He's saying that that's where the Holy Spirit's giving Paul this reflection. He's saying that shield should be out front, positionally. And he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we can see here in verse 17, he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I'm just going to read some highlights or some notes here. He brings in this book, he talks about the Roman soldier. He said the Roman soldier, this is what Rick Renner writes in his book, I'm not a historian and I'm not a scholar, he is. So I'm highlighting this. So the Holy Spirit must have had a reason to bring out this particular type of Greek word. That's the word that was used. And he said there were five swords that the Roman soldier used. He said there was one sword, it was not double-sided, it was single-sided, single-edged. He said he had another sword that was a shorter sword that was about, he said, about 19 inches in length. And he said that was a little more, he said that was more popular, but again, not double-sided. And then it had another shorter sword, even than that. He said it was more like a dagger than a sword. Then he said this particular sword, well, then they had another sword, which was more like a spear. And he said, no, he said that was more for the artillery than the cavalry, meaning the foot troops didn't use it because, he said, they wouldn't have lasted too long. It was kind of, not flimsy, but that's not the kind of sword that they would use in battle. So he said this sword that they were used was a very vicious sword. He said it was a deadly sword, and he said it could take your head off. It was like as sharp as a razor. He said it was a two-edged sword, and he said in that, he said the way he wrote it, from a historical standpoint, he said it was a murderous type sword. It was very deadly. And he said it, and some had curves so that when they cut with it, they'd pull, and he said it would pull the insides out of an individual. So in other words, it was a very deadly type of thing. It was it cut two ways. So he said this word sword, he said this Greek word is Machaira, or Machaira. He said this sword was approximately 19 inches long. Both sides of its blade were razor sharp, making this sword much more dangerous than the other four. So he said, and then of course he said it was, you know, the tip was turned up, and he said it was extremely sharp and deadly. So why would the Holy Spirit give Paul and give him this type of reflection? See, the Holy Spirit will give you analogies or show you things here, things that you may be meditating upon. He gave Paul some revelation based on something he was familiar with in his society that he could see and understand. So he said, this word, this particular word, now here, where are my notes? Ah, here it is. Okay. He said, this two-edged sword, he said, is actually two words. This word, two-edged. He's talking about two-edged now. What does this mean? He said, this word is actually two words put together. It's D-I-S-T-O-M-O-S. He said, what makes this an odd word that's used in the New Testament? He said, this word is made up of two words, di, meaning two, and the word stomos, S-T-O-M-O-S, which is the Greek word for one's mouth. So he said the actual word, when you put these two together, the new word describes something that is two-mouthed. So, the word is actually, when it says here, he said, John, this is if you turn over here, when it talks about the two-edged sword, we know from Hebrews, it says, for God's, or this is the NIV, or King James, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's saying it's sharper than any two mouths. Because that word is mouth. It's two and mouth. So what does that mean? When you go and you start looking at the scriptures, let me read this here. This is from the Jordan translation. For God's word is alive with energy and sharper than any double-edged sword you ever saw. So sharp, in fact, that it can draw a line between the mental and spiritual, like separating bones from marrow, and discern all our inner emotions and drives. This is the Jordan translation, Hebrews 4:11. And I'm going to read chapter 1 in Revelations. And it talks about, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, this is John, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven candlesticks, golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Now listen to this. And his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Where did it go? Out of his mouth. So this starts to give us some insight as to why the Word of God, well, it says here, first of all, it has to be spoken. Now, one of the points he said here, And of course, now let me just, before I go forward here, it says here, he said here, John is telling us that the sword had two mouths. This is what he's writing. Therefore, you could accurately translate Revelation 1:16 to read, out of his mouth went a sharp two-mouthed sword. It's interesting. So now when you look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two mouths, or two edges, or he could say here, a sharp sword with two mouths. So he's taking this and showing you from the Greek words that it was translated two-edged, but the Greek is two mouths. So what does that mean? This is what he points out, which I think is very good revelation. Why is the word repeatedly referred to as a two-edged sword? Or even more correctly, why does the original Greek text actually say that the Word of God is a two-mouthed sword? One sharpened edge of this sword came into being when the Word of God initially proceeded out of the mouth of God. That was the one side of the sword. He said the second edge of the sword is added when the Word of God proceeds out of your mouth. Think about this for a second, and you know this is true scripturally. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Or the Holman Christian Standard says, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. The Young's Literal Translation says, the opening of thy words enlighteneth, instructing the simple. So it's not what's in your head that sets you free. It's what's where? In your heart that you act upon. That sets you free. James 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, I'm going to walk through here and show you some things from Scripture, because if this is so, then we should see it in the life of Jesus. We should see it in others in Scripture as to how they handled confrontation from the devil. So the point here we're saying is that, what does the scripture say? By grace ye are saved through faith. So you're not going to, the grace that's been extended and provided, the grace of being delivered, the grace of being prosperous, the grace of being healed is not yours until you do what? You receive it by faith and do what? Speak it. So just because God spoke it, yes, every word will produce. But the side of that two-edged sword, what have we been learning? That everything that's been accomplished has been accomplished in Christ. The devil's already defeated. But why does it look like in some people's lives that he's still active? The people are defeated. They're walking around defeated in certain areas of their life because they're not enforcing what Jesus has already done. And so that two-edged sword must come out of the second side of that sword, or we say this, the one side that God spoke, light be, and it was. But when it comes to us in our lives, we're going to have to speak the word of God. And this is what his point was, that this second piece of this sword is us speaking the word of God. Now let's take a look here at Matthew chapter 4. And let's go over and take a look and see how Jesus handled this. Well, you know what? Before you go there, just hold on a second. Just moving just a little too fast here for a sec. Just hold on. Let's take a look at just one other point here in verse 17. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now that word is rhema. And so this word carries with it the idea of a quickened word, or a word from the Lord, as some might say. So this is something that the Holy Spirit would supernaturally drop into your heart, which will affect your mind, your thinking, give you illumination, impart what? Power or direction for your life. And this is what John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, look at, I'm just going to highlight some individuals here. Look at Noah. Noah received revelation on building the ark. Build an ark. And so, here's the other thing when it comes to a rhema word. Some people think this has to be this very long, written out, verbose thing. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but usually a rhema word is, for direction in life, will be a word, a scripture verse, or just get up and go over here. And that's the extent of it. And you're going to have to follow that, which is exactly what we see in for Noah. Let's turn there for a moment, take a look at what instructions he got. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. And he begins to give him some instructions. And God said, you know, in verse 12, he looked upon the earth, it was corrupt, and so forth. And what? God gave Noah some instructions. He started to tell him some things. And he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And he goes down, he gives him all of the instructions on how to make it, how big to make it, what to put in it, and so forth, and his family. And verse 22, and thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So he got a rhema word from God, what to do. And what did it do? It saved his household. And let's look at Genesis 12. And we know this story about Abram. And God called Abram to get up. What did he say? The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. So he didn't give him any. He didn't give him much more than that, and said, get up and go. And so you can see here down in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran. So he didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, get up, I'm going to show you a place you're going to go. And he did it. He got up and went. So he didn't get much more than that. So this was the rhema. You know, some of us want more with a rhema word. We want more, you know, but God's going to give us just exactly enough, and we're going to have to operate in faith. Otherwise, it's not faith. Let's look at Genesis 37. These are just some examples of individuals that got a rhema word from God. And of course, here you see the life of Joseph. And he showed him some dreams and shared some things, and his brothers didn't like it. Got him in trouble. And so he received a couple of dreams, and he revealed what? His future to him, which came to pass. And then, of course, you can look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She received a word from God. And that's one. Paul, he received a word from God. He was spoken at the time of his conversion, Acts 9. So you can go down and look at Paul's life. It says here, God gave Ananias a word concerning Paul's salvation, Acts 9, 10 through 16. And then another also about his public ministry. So you can see here that they were given, Paul through his ministry, were given direction through words that came from the Holy Spirit, as all of us have in various things of our life. So let's go back over to... jumping ahead here now, let's go over and look at how Jesus handled confrontation by the devil. And let's look at Matthew 4. And starting in verse 1. Starting in verse 1, it says, Matthew 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what did he say? It is written. Which, if you look that up, that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. So this is something that he either must have heard or studied or known of, and the Holy Spirit was bringing something back to his remembrance on how to handle this situation. It was a rhema word that the Holy Spirit gave him, and it became what? A sword that cut. And so here you can see he continues. Then it says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him down on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. So now he wants to quote scripture to him. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So you can see here, one thing to consider, if you don't know the Word of God, I'm not saying that the Spirit of God won't help you in that situation or give you a rhema word, but it's better if you have that Word hidden in your heart. He's not going to leave you or forsake you and leave you out there, but it's sure better to have the Word of God hidden in your heart and have Him bring that up to your remembrance. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, or leave my presence, get out of here. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So you can see here that the Jesus was hitting him with what? Or you could say stabbing him with the word. He was the word, but it had to be what? Spoken. So really the two-edged sword was Jesus was the word, but he had to speak it. He had to release it in order for that to have an effect. If he didn't say anything, what effect would that have had? If he was our example, he was our prototype, then that means when we're confronted with something, we may know the word, but we're going to have to speak the word in order for that to be a two-edged sword. Where are we here? So, we can't just hear the word, but we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to speak it. I'm thinking of just in my own life, things that have come up in life where I've needed direction. How many have been there where you've needed some direction and God has given you something from Scripture? I'm thinking of a situation that happened when I first came to this ministry, and it was it looked like the knockout punch. And I remember saying, Holy Spirit, I really don't know what to do. I was pondering it in my heart. I don't know what to do. And at the time, I wasn't thinking of this particular scripture. But he brought it as I was sitting there. Really, fear was trying to grip my mind and my heart with this situation. And I remember just, I'm sitting there, and he said, the scripture of Malachi 3:10 came up and said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Went on, and so forth. And he comforted my heart with this, in this situation, and got me to the place of releasing some words concerning this particular situation. So in every situation that we're in, the two-edged sword is going to be God's word has been spoken, but we're going to have to release a rhema word, something that we're going to be meditating upon, speaking. I was listening to some messages a while back, and Scripture, when it registers, maybe that's another word to say it this way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But something that registers on your heart, on your spirit, what does it do? It brings light. Faith comes. When faith comes, what are we supposed to do? Speak it. And that releases the power of God in that situation. And you know, you've heard me share this story about my sister and her husband, who she's married to currently. And you know, when he jumped up in my face and beat his chest and said the devil lives in there, it happened so quick. You didn't have time to think. It's like something happens. You're here. That's it. You're just. And you either stand there and go, what's this? There's no time to think. And so instantly, the Holy Ghost spoke through my spirit and said, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. And he turned his head and walked away in fear. So that was a sharp two-edged sword that cut, and it was rhema. And so I've had a number of instances where rhema words have come that have been effective and have made a change in something, either in my life or somebody else's life. So when we get direction, we need supernatural direction from God. And that's going to have to come through a word that the Holy Spirit gives us supernaturally. And when he does, we are most times given that word to release and speak. And when we do, faith-filled words will change something. And that's the two-edged sword. And the devil can't stand against it. He has no power to come up against it. This is the piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, that if we don't put on the whole armor of God, not some of it, but all of it, has to be working together, that protects us so that we can withstand the devil's wiles and devices and deception. So we may have the shield of faith up. See, what's something about armor that you could consider? Some are defensive and some are offensive. So all of the armor that God gives us is not all defensive. Some is offensive. And so when I speak with that sword, that's offensive. Now, some of the things, when it talks about the shield of faith, that it'll quench, that's defensive. And so some of the things that we have at our disposal, we need to take advantage of and make sure that we put them all on. And the one surefire way to do that is to constantly stay meditating in the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God. As he points out, Rick Renner does, if you look at the armor of God, the one he calls it, the central piece is the Word of God. And it's referred to in the loin belt, which really held everything together. He said it was the belt of truth. And then he said you had all of these things hinged on that. Your breastplate did, your sword did. And all of these things hinged on what? The Word of God, truth. So as you can see, the armor, all of this hinged on the Word of God and was central to it. So I find that the things in the Word of God, you know, as we meditate on it, these things become much clearer. And you can see here, just from Revelation, Jesus spoke, and it says that these things, it says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, which for us, we're to walk in this earth as he did. So when we're confronted with something, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand, why is this happening to me? What's going on here? Ask the Holy Ghost, how should I handle this? What should I say? What should I speak concerning this? I know, you know, just some of the things that we walk through here in the ministry, just, you know, in times, and all of us have faced what I would call periods of what, you know, concern or difficulty. Or you want an answer. I need to know what to do. That is when you need a rhema word. You need direction from God. Because if you don't get direction from God, what you're going to end up doing is trying to figure it out and talk about it and release words that give something power. May not necessarily be the devil giving him power. But if you constantly are saying, I don't understand this, I don't understand this, I don't understand this, I don't understand this, you never will. Your understanding will be clouded and darkened. So we need to find out and say, even if you don't know, what was one of the things that Reverend Leanne shared when she was here? We have the Holy Spirit that'll reveal what? All things to us. All things. And so she, by faith, even when she didn't know, she said, I'll know what to do. I'm going to know what to do. The Holy Spirit's going to tell me what to do. When I get up there, when I go to this spot, I'm going to know what to do. And that's become part of her to the point when she steps up, I don't know, but when she gets there, I know. I know what to do. So our faith-filled words, you may not know. You may not know what to do in a situation, but you need to start saying, in every situation, I'll know what to do. In every circumstance in life that I'm confronted with, I'll know what to do, and I'll know what to say. And it'll be a rhema word from God. I'll have clear direction, because the entrance of His word gives me light. And I'm not in the dark. I've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light. So I'm not supposed to be walking around in darkness. So guess what? I'm not going to release and speak words of darkness. I'm going to talk light. I'm going to say, I know what to do. Now, your head, you're going to have a problem with your head, because your head's going to go, no, you don't. You don't know what you're doing. You ain't got a clue what you're doing. But guess what? Where do the words come that change things? Not out of my head, out of my spirit. So the things that will change something, the two-edged sword is going to come out of my spirit. And the more I meditate upon the promises of God, the more real they become. And just what it said, the more I act on it, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So that means even when I don't know, I need to be saying, I'll know what to do. I know what to do. I know what to do. I mean, you don't know how many times, and I'm sure I've heard Pastor Clinton say it, the years he was here, he said, you don't know, I'm walking down the tunnel coming out, and I'm saying, Lord, this is going to be a big bomb if you don't give me some clear direction. And he said, the minute I stepped up to the pulpit, I knew exactly where to go. He used to say it all the time. Because sometimes you don't know. You study, you prepare your heart, but you're not exactly clear the direction and how to articulate it, how to say it, how to share the word of God. But you say by faith, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to give me clear direction on what to do. Now, this is my responsibility. You have another responsibility. You may not know what to do. You may not know what to buy. You may not know what to wear. You know, all these things. I'm going to move. I've got to get a new job. I'll know what to do. I'll know what to do. I'll know. The Holy Spirit's going to tell me. He's going to reveal to me just exactly what to do. And when He does, I'm going to speak it. Well. And that's the life that we need to live. Putting on this whole armor, because the devil, what does it say? We fight the good fight of faith. So this is a faith fight. And so the more we get the word of God in our hearts, and it becomes rhema and real, that when I'm confronted with something, I'll know what to say. I'll know what to do. I'm not lost. I'm in the kingdom of light. And I'm not in the dark. I know where to go. How many believe that? How many believe I'm in the kingdom of heaven? I'm in the kingdom of light. And certainly, you can see, and just turn the news on for 5 minutes, you can see they don't know nothing. They're trying to figure out stuff in this earth. Why? Because their minds have been darkened. But our minds are darkened, because it says the entrance of his word gives light and gives what? Enlightened understanding, you could say. So you can say, I have enlightened understanding. They might somebody might say, really? Ooh. So you have enlightened understanding? I sure do. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me and he enlightens my mind. He gives me light in the darkness. And I know what to do. I know what to say. Hallelujah. If you don't have enlightened thinking, you don't want to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, because it could mean your life. So many know that here. There's a lot of people were, a number of people were saved by not going into the building, the World Trade Centers, because thoughts came. Don't go to work. Slow up. Do this. Go over here. Do this. Why? What am I doing that for? Just follow the directions. Spare your life. So this two-edged sword that we have, God spoke the word, but then what is received and meditated upon and spoken is that two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.